This Games for Windows podcast is sponsored by Company of Heroes, THQ's groundbreaking World War II real-time strategy game for the PC. Company of Heroes was recently given a top score of 10 out of 10 by 1UP.com.
Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. This is the podcast for November 6th, 2006. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of GFW Magazine. And I am here with the gang of GFW, which includes
Brian Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
Sean Elliott,
John Malloy.
Hello, gentlemen.
We should go backwards next time just to mix it up.
Yeah, we should mix it up. Should we do that now? Nah, that'd be a waste. Well, that'd be a waste of airtime.
No, we shouldn't.
Okay, we won't do that. So we've had a kind of busy week here at the ranch.
That's one way to say it.
Yeah, that's one way to say it. I think we've agreed we're not going to belabor this point too much. You can read any of the 8 billion posts all over the internet about our fun last few days. But I can say, as a result of all this, I can tell you what I'm now playing in the Whatcha Playing section of this podcast. I'm playing Neverwinter Nights 2. I figured if it was going to take over my whole life, I might as well play the damn thing. So, yeah. So that's what I'm playing. And should I say how I'm enjoying it or not?
I think you should.
You owe it to the people.
Well, I kind of am. There's two games in Neverwinter Nights. The first game is figuring out how to get it to run on your machine.
Another one of these.
So, yeah, it's another one of those. And so, you know, my first hour or so, it was a zero-star game because I could not freaking get it to run. But after I turned down basically every effect and ran it in 800 by 600, then it was playable for the most part.
Really? What graphics card are you using for this?
Well, it's just a 6800, but, I got two gigs of RAM. I have a fast processor. Mm-hmm. I mean, my graphics card does need an upgrade, but I'll tell you, here at GFW World, I ran it today, and it was basically the same thing. It still ran pokey as hell.
Did you have to turn off the environmental normal mapping, which was the word that everyone's been having to do?
No, I did have to turn shadows all the way off. Hmm. That I had to do. And there's big camera issues. It's a pain in the tuchus that way. There's some serious technical issues here. However, after I got over all that and slogged my way through the opening boring part, I did start enjoying it. I can see a lot about this campaign that's going to be fun. It has some earmarks of Obsidian's humor. I don't know. We'll see. But actually, all of this is just to deflect from the...
Let's give us an example of the humor, because last week Ryan told us about the Drake's
on a plane.
Huh?
Okay. Drake's on the planes.
Okay, so there's this dwarf, and he drinks a lot, and he wants to fight people everywhere.
Hilarious.
He's afraid of water.
No, but he every time he meets someone, he goes "I'm gonna hit you." Kind of isn't that funny? I can't stop laughing.
but you were pretty earnest when you said it was a funny game.
No, it is. It's just I can't give you an example. I'm not going to tell Neverwinter Night jokes.
Well, you could give an example. You could be hey, I saw Borat the other night, and he comes out and goes, "My wife's a vagine. It's like a wizard sleeve." And I do the shittiest impression of him anyway, but it's the content that
matters. I can fairly say that nothing in Neverwinter Nights 2 is as funny as anything Borat's ever said. But there's good repartee between the NPCs. You know, these guys, they didn't make KOTOR, but they made KOTOR 2. The NPCs sort of arguing with each other and not approving of what you do. And it's sort of done in a very good, they will actually respond to your behavior in the game with snarky comments, which is always cool in games like this.
Well, these are the guys who created Icewind Dale, stuff like that.
Right, the lead designer was the lead designer of Planescape Torment.
Which is one of the best RPGs
maybe ever. So, this is no B team of designers. This is an A team. And the game is pretty good, but, there's some technical crap here in the way that's definitely not good.
And you haven't had a chance to play with the tool set at all, because...
No, not at all.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to try to get that going, for next week, because I want to try to create a module of my own, but... I know I'm promising way too much already, but because I mean, to me, like, everyone makes a big deal about the campaign, but I always feel, I mean, so I was actually reading the some comments on Penny Arcade earlier, and they made a really good point that that's just like that campaign is just kind of like the base level to kind of get you started.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, Neverwinter Nights 1, it was the same way. The campaign in both these games is basically just like an example of what you could do with the tool set. This game has always been about empowering the gamer to make their own D&D adventure. I do think that these guys at Obsidian made a good one this time. And in fact, this campaign is, to me, feels much better than the first one, which I thought was just dry as dirt. I couldn't even get through that one. I thought it was so boring. In the first one, you didn't even get any... where you got one companion, right? One NPC
to be
in your party, and I think you couldn't even control him. So at least this feels more like a real RPG again, where you've got a party of four people that you can control on an individual basis, and they level up with you. You can give them equipment. You know, it feels like a real party-based RPG, which I like. There.
Oh, good.
Isn't that good for me?
Yeah.
Makes me want to watch
like
the D&D movie again.
Marlon Wayans needs to come back.
Do we want to talk about the pulling of the review or not? Do we need to... What's there to say?
Well, I
we pulled the review.
You've already said a million times.
I've said it online a million times already. If you're curious as to why we pulled the Neverwinter Nights 2 review, I encourage you to read my blog. Blogs at gfwjeff.oneup.com, or you can probably just Google it and you can read the 8,000 messages on why I'm a jerk. You can also do that.
Wait, was it jerk? Or
well, that would be the nice word. Yeah. Sellout, whore.
Hey, just don't step on my territory.
All right.
Grunion.
Grunion. Someone call me a grunion?
Totally a grunion.
Now I'm upset. It's all there online. You can see all my angst in full display. And let's move on, huh?
Yay.
What are you playing, Ryan?
I'm just wrapping up Guild Wars.
Really?
Surprise.
Wrapping it up.
Well, I just finished the single player campaign. I guess in my case, the single player campaign.
Has it held up?
It has, yeah.
Hour 100 on that, or how? Anyway, did you keep a track of how long this campaign took?
No. I know it took. I think there was about a difference of about 50 hours at the point that I was at the final mission. I don't know what it's gone up. I played more since then, but.
Them's a lot of hours.
Yeah. But I'd say it's probably, out of all the three campaigns, it's probably the best one.
If someone's never played any Guild Wars,
I would tell them to get this one.
Really?
As opposed to the original two?
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's a recommendation.
That says a lot. You know? I mean, that says a lot for them, I think, that the third one would be the best.
Actually, here's a stupid question for you. So if you were to buy the third one, Nightfall, all the other character classes are fully unlocked. How does that work?
They're... the six main character classes from the original come with every product. You get those no matter which one you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, factions had two character classes,
right.
The assassin and the ritualist. You only get those if you own factions.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the paragon and the dervish.
So it's not like a cumulative thing. You actually...
Right. There's two character classes tied to each of the two.
Is the paragon just like a paladin?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
It's all group oriented.
Why didn't they just call him a paladin?
They like their little wacky names.
What's the dervish then?
The dervish is the like a hybrid spellcaster and warrior sort of class.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Is there a monk?
There's a monk.
Yeah, that's in the original.
The healer.
Right.
There's the elementalist, which is like your
mage.
Nuker, mage guy. Mm-hmm. There's the warrior, the ranger.
Do they call him warrior?
Uh-huh.
So they call the warrior a warrior, but they call the paladin a paragon.
Right.
I'm sure there's some lore reason for that.
And then the illusionist or enchanter or whatever you want to call it, they call a mesmer.
Uh-huh.
So.
He mesmerizes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of pretentious if you ask me.
And the shaman, they call a ritualist.
Yes, as you're eating your caviar while you're hitting WASD. Right. So I'll play my mesmer, excuse me, sir.
No, he's not a wizard, he's a mesmer.
Good day, sir.
You fool.
Harumph.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to pick on your game.
No, it's fine.
It takes it very personally.
I do. It's sitting there next to my computer. I would have been playing it this month or this week if I hadn't had to play Neverwinter. I shouldn't say had to play Neverwinter.
No, because you were playing Phantasy Star Universe, right?
Is I tried to have to play Star that. Universe. Yeah. Darren, you want to talk about Phantasy Star Universe?
Sure, sure.
First of all, full disclosure, were you playing the PC version or the Xbox 360 version?
Actually, both.
Be honest.
I actually played both. I wanted to compare and contrast the two.
Okay.
And obviously the PC version looks better, and the keyboard mouse interface works so much better with this game.
Really?
I mean, granted, you could still plug in the 360 controller for Windows, and it'll work. But it really is a lot easier, especially because you got to type in chat commands and stuff like that. So it just.
Oh, were you playing online or were you playing the single player?
Oh, I wasn't playing online because I got to pay an extra $10 for that.
Oh. Well, it's an MMO, isn't it?
No.
Not an MMO, but
it's an MO.
An MO.
Basically, it works similar to Guild Wars in the multiplayer game. That's the concept. Basically, it's like, you go to a hub world, you meet people, you go into the instances.
But you have to pay more?
Oh, damn, should be free.
That's what I'm saying. That was the one thing I brought up when I previewed the game in the Alan Wake issue, I think? Well, anyway, the point was there. I was kind of saying how it's really cool when they have a full single player game, and it's very in that Japanese anime sci-fi style.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're into that thing, cool, but there's some kind of, I wouldn't say pervy moments, but you notice.
I would.
Well, I didn't notice the upskirt shots.
It's from having a daughter myself, but there's a scene right at the beginning of the single player game where there's some young girl, and first she's like far away in the camera, and you're like, oh, that's some like kind of hot chick in a little cheerleader outfit. That's neat. And then the camera zooms in, and she's like 11. And you're like, ah! Why was I thinking that was hot?
This is from a world where that's called fan service.
Yeah.
And it's a world where, as I was describing, there's a term for a person called a chican. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a pervert pederast that goes on to public trains and grabs schoolgirls. Right.
Well, that's how this game made me feel for like 2 minutes. Until I ripped the CD out of the drive. I'm not playing this.
I don't know what disturbs more, the fact that you noticed Fantasy that or the fact that I didn't.
Right. That was just another normal moment in Darren's life.
I wasn't even noticing that.
I got a lot of DVDs like this.
The rationality is like, hey, well, the porn subscription cost me $9.99. The game is only $9.99.
But seriously, I mean, it's weird that they would be charging, isn't
right.
it?
Well, the thing is, I mean, I'm all for them having a full single player game, and I kind of see where they're going with this multiplayer, subscription based model for whatever reason.
But what justifies paying?
Right,
because it's not an MMO. What are they giving you, like, in terms of
especially
content?
If you already have Xbox Live, you're going to pay another fee.
Basically,
on top of that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what you're paying for is the ability to play with other people, which you could do with
but
Guild Wars
bullshit.
For free. That's exactly
right.
I totally agree.
If you're playing it on Xbox Live, you're already paying Xbox Live.
What about number of dungeons and missions? Because the original game only had 4.
Well, I think there's more than that. I mean, they actually addressed that point. Okay. I don't have an exact number, but I mean,
Ryan, give me some Guild Wars numbers.
But with an MMO,
how many missions
that you're paying money for, you're paying money because it's a service and they're constantly giving you new content.
Right.
Is Phantasy Star Universe going to do that?
Again, don't know. I believe they will, but I can't answer that one with 100% knowledge. Another thing that kind of bugs me about this is, so you go through the whole single-player campaign, and you get to the end, you get that cinematic pat on the back, congratulations, you saved the world. And anything you accomplished in the 40 hours, thanks.
Sorry. That's kind of feeble anyway.
Man, that's the weakest one yet.
I know.
But, so you finish the single-player campaign, you get, get this, congratulations, you win, and that's it. There's no, you can't pass.
What do you want?
I don't know. Just pass along after 40 hours. It'd be nice to pass along some kind of item that I could take to my avatar if I were to go online or. You could do that with. Guild Wars technically is always online, but a game like Titan Quest, your character ports over back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's a shame, really. I mean, I think there's some potential there still, and for those who are diehard that want to get a good experience.
Well, it sounds to me like Sonic the Hedgehog just has some house payments to make.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be it.
Actually, he has to pay a new security deposit or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's lame. How's the single player campaign? Because that's the only reason I would actually be into it. Because I like my nostalgia trip. Because I used to I'm of the, oh my God, Phantasy Star 2 is one of the best games ever made.
Phantasy Star.
Well, yeah. In that respect, it's pretty. In that respect, it's okay. I mean, if you're a fan of that old school sci-fi anime kind of vibe.
Somebody knocking?
I don't know. They're gone.
Anyway, so that's the deal. I mean, if you like it, then you'll kind of appreciate the single player part of it at least.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll have to get more information on what they're offering online.
Yeah,
see if it's worth $10 a month.
Exactly.
Is that the same deal on the PC?
Yeah,
because I just know from the Xbox.
I think it's the same deal all around. But my knee jerk reaction is Guild Wars is free. Why can't this be?
Here,
that's
here.
How it's been.
So what's Sean playing?
I'm playing some hot stuff. Basically, I had a nice 3-day weekend. Went out of town up to the Redwood Coast, and so it was there in a miniature golf arcade where I discovered a game called Feeding Frenzy, and I immediately recognized it as something available on PopCap's games on Steam.
Can I interrupt you for a sec? Weren't you on your anniversary, dude?
I was, and it was her who wanted to play. I mean, we were playing some miniature golf, and it was like...
You were whipping up a couple good rounds there, right?
Well, it was like located like right next to where we were staying, so... And
she wanted to go into the arcade, too?
She did. Yeah, she totally did.
Okay.
And so she wanted to play. It's got a trackball, and... So we started playing it there, and I came home and downloaded Feeding Frenzy 2 to play with her. And I got all into it, and I beat it. Like, there's 60 levels in the story mode, and I got it yesterday and played all of them.
What is the story of Feeding Frenzy 2?
The story mode? There's, like, this some
kind
of, like,
motivation?
Alien benthic-like fish that appears in the Friendly Lagoon, and his mystery needs to be solved, but ultimately by shrinking him and eating him.
Huh.
But aside from that, the game's fun. It's an arcade sort of game in the sense that, and normally, you know, when I look at PopCap games, I stick to the puzzle type stuff, the Bejeweled and Zumas, because the arcade stuff, like the basically whack-a-mole with gnomes or whatever, like Elf Bowling and stuff, just
try Rocket Mania, man. I love that game.
Yeah, we got that. I've been playing that too. This is gonna be a PopCap fest.
Yeah,
always.
So, so the game itself, I don't know. It just sounds so ridiculous. Like, what do you play? Feeding Frenzy 2, man. But you basically a small fish, and you go around eating fish smaller than you while avoiding fish larger than you until you become larger. Mm-hmm. Natural growth process. You
so
eat
like
the bigger
an
fish
MMO.
And work your way
it's
up. Yeah, it's like
a
MMO.
PvP, yeah.
I have a game on my cell phone called Insane Aquarium, which is exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's a PopCap.
Yeah, that's another PopCap game I saw in there. It didn't look as cool as I'll check
someone's
it out
ripping
and
someone
report
off,
back. But what's fun about it is that the fish moves like... So, I mean, if you ever watch, like, a, you know, David Attenborough doc or something, and you see just, like, a mesmerizing school of fish darting back and forth, and you look at it, and you're like, I'm not trying to get philosophical on this.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sean's trying to justify his
frenzy, too.
The fish are just moving every which way.
We're the fish, man.
I feel like, you know, I'm part of this ecosystem.
But basically, there is a fun, there's a natural kind of, like, spasticness that translates well, I guess, into gaming. That's what I'm trying to say. So okay. It's not the deep or anything, but it's like, it's fun. It's like, you look at it and you're like, hey, this could be whatever. It could be just a ball zipping around the screen, but it makes sense that it's a fish because they do move this way.
Right.
And you play it and, you know, in the way that those games do, it increasingly complicates the levels as you go, mm-hmm. making it so you need to get like photoplankton to keep the diving bell on your deep sea fish illuminated. And, everyone on the podcast, it's getting all awkward right now because I'm sitting here talking to myself.
No,
everyone's looking at the door.
We're not getting oh god, he's still talking about Feeding Frenzy. No, we're getting awkward because it looks like the Retronauts guys are here again.
They're actually brandishing some weapons.
I'm like, wow, feeding frenzy is,
tell you what, everyone go to the Retronauts forum. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I said that before and got in trouble. We love the Retronauts. People go to the Retronauts forum and tell them we love them. Shit.
So we got to get out of here.
No.
So
it's
quick.
Sucks. Wow.
We just ended on the note.
Wait.
If you can get it for cheap, check out.
Let's take a break. It's 20 minutes.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to go meet the Retronauts guys by the flagpole, and we'll be right back.
And if we're back, then that means we won.
Hopefully we'll be back.
Yeah, if we're back, that we won.
Listen to EGM Live to hear Electronic Gaming Monthly editors take you beyond the pages of the magazine.
Extended impressions of the hottest games.
Shocking celebrity guest stars.
Exterminate all man animals at will!
And the newest video game soundtracks.
That's EGM Live, available at egmlive.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Okay, well, we're back through a Retronauts podcast from a time when gaming was much better.
Okay, so we're back with
that. That was well done. We're back. We have 20 minutes. Retronaut, the big mean Retronauts guys gave us 20 more minutes.
And gave Ryan a black eye.
Then they're going to come back and kick our ass.
They
got
to come in here and talk about Super Mario Brothers. So
yeah. Okay, so back to your fish game.
Pronounce Mario. Sean. Okay, yeah. So anyway, long story short on that, eventually you get to become a shark. You
really?
Get to become larger, more significant fish in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Yeah, eventually you do become a shark and you're eating great killer whales and everything from moving on up to like whatever clownfish type thing in a reef eating, in a reef eating, eating larger clownfish, triggerfish and whatnot.
So is this a PopCap?
It's a PopCap.
Yeah.
I had it. I got it via Steam, but it's also on the PopCap website. And it's a good one to get. I mean, like Melissa, she's totally into it. I mean, she's just was playing it all last night and woke up this morning talking about fish and so it's got all the signs of being
everybody,
fun.
Everybody needs games like that in their life.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Lumines Live on the Xbox 360.
Despite the twitchy controls?
I'm okay with the controls. The only thing that pisses me off is the, you know.
The song packs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times have you bought it so far?
Just once? Only once. Okay. Only once.
That's good. Mm.
So before we move on, I feel like I let everyone down, but I would be playing more hardcore games if I had them. I mean, I'm meaning to get into Flight Sim 10, unless it's X, whatever.
And, I don't know how you pronounce it.
I still can't get Dark Messiah to work, so we'll hear more on that later.
Flight Sim X.
Extreme.
Mr. Malloy, what are you playing?
I was playing a whole lot of box pushing.
Oh, that's right. You were moving.
So it's
kind of like you not play any computer games?
I had no computer to play anything on.
So technically, it was like a real world Tetris.
Yeah, or Boxel or Shovel.
Boxel.
It was a casual game.
the moving game
sucked.
you didn't even play the Wild Trading Card Game?
No, we packed that really early, and I got really mad about it.
You got mad about you packed it.
Well, we had movers come, and they came 6 hours after they said. So I was like getting really restless, and said, "Where's the Wild Trading Game? Why did we pack that?
Damn it!"
So
I tried playing that with my kid, and I got to say that manual sucks.
Yeah,
the manual for playing the Wild Trading Card Game is like. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It seems so easy, and the producer was explaining it to you.
I know. Well, it's when you have the guy who made the game sitting right there walking you through the game, somehow it seems pretty easy. So I told Sarah, like, they walked me through this game. This is going to be totally easy. We took it all out, and then I was just sitting there going, So she was all frustrated with me.
Did you guys get a turtle mount?
No, we didn't get a turtle mount. Actually, I have to say part of the problem is that when I wasn't looking, she, like, opened up all the cards. Like for the booster packs plus all the starter deck cards, and she kind of mixed them all up. So,
oh yeah, blame her.
Yeah, my dumb daughter's fault.
Not that you can't teach her,
man. And she blew the eBay value, man.
Yeah, totally. No, but we didn't get a turtle mount.
I didn't get any loot cards at all.
People are still complaining, like 2 weeks after it's released, that they can't find it anywhere.
Can't find what
the card game.
Yeah,
yeah, it's all sold out everywhere.
Demand is high. Upper Deck's loving this, though. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's. Great.
That's just like how they do things. Upper Deck produces limited cards.
Mm-hmm. Generates demand, and then off you go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of WoW, should we talk about one of the big news items? And now here's Darren with the news.
We need a keyboard. We need someone to like start tapping on a keyboard.
Was this Channel 1?
Yeah, that was
whatever.
Real.
What is it? It goes into classrooms?
Yeah, Channel 1.
Like, Mr. and Miss America on all ships at sea. News straight from WoW. okay, so actually this is a report saying that Overrated, the only U.S. Horde guild currently clearing Blizzard's most recent raid dungeon in WoW, was banned en masse for wall hacking.
Okay, banned completely?
Banned completely from the world.
What, now the guild was banned?
Yeah.
The guild was banned overall.
Guild.
Hang it. Okay.
Meaning the players can't... What?
Well, basically they cleared all of... Now, you guys are going to correct me on this, I'm sure, but Naxxramas?
Correct.
Yeah, that's good.
Sweet. Okay, so they cleared all of that in the final 40-man dungeon at WoW, but the hacks occurred in...
Okay, on Karaj.
Of course. That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Getting to K'thun.
Right. Anyway, so... On the official WoW forums, an Overrated member, Pantaloons, awesome name, says the following. It's true. A few minutes ago, we went from having a near raid online to having 7. I didn't clearly, but only because my raid attendance has been remiss lately. Let me explain. We're the only U.S. whore that clears Nax. Been like that for a few weeks. People found that the pre... C'Thun trash was so painful they decided to install some stupid thing that deletes walls or something, and you could just run there after Scarum.
Dude, let's back this up a minute. What the hell is
I have no idea. I'm hoping somebody can translate that.
Pre-C'Thun trash.
Okay, trash. Okay,
bring
trash.
It down. Bring it. Give me the
Sean
Malloy's
translation.
Trash.
Trash. In a raid dungeon, there's like usually 6 to 9 bosses. All the little monsters in between the bosses are called trash mobs. So it's just things you have to kill to pretty
to
much waste
your
mob. Time.
To get to the big guys.
To get to the guys right. that actually drop the good loot.
So they wanted.
So
to
they're
skip
like
all
the mana
trash.
Tap cards in the card game version of World of Warcraft. Right?
So it just takes a long time. To
you
get
have to slog through the garbage.
So basically,
the
wall hacks were cutting off a couple hours from these quests.
Right. Skaram is the first boss in AQ40, is what they call it, Encourage 40 man. And K'thun is the last boss, and there's like 7 or so in between the two of them that you have to get through. But yeah,
so
they
cheated.
The
they used a wall hack and they cheated.
You know what I love, by the way, is the fact that Sean's breaking this down for me while wearing a quest giver cap.
That's right.
He's actually wearing a bit. You can't tell us, but he's wearing a baseball cap with a big question mark on it.
Right.
Official
your quest.
That means we've solved the quest.
That's right.
Or so, maybe we're ready for a new one.
I like the logic in this.
I want my reward, by the way.
Thank They're you. Upstairs.
The guy's complaint is that this game is so freaking boring that they got to cheat to get done with it. But instead of like, what happened to like, just don't play it?
Like, they're
this game
making
is
them
so
play.
Bad. We got to cheat just to, and not saying that it's broken. It's like, yeah. It's just so the pre-Gathon trash is painful.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that these
then
people
why are you
have
taking
done it,
it
so
out?
Many times.
Yeah.
That like it just. It is good. It does get boring after a while, and then you either skip it or you start cheating. Apparently,
you probably at that point you just want to not play it. I mean, yeah. So were the players actually banned from WoW, or was it just the guild? Do we know the difference here? I mean, it's like the guild.
I think the players were. Banned.
I think all the players are banned. I'm shut down.
Like skipping all the way to K'thun, like get you some really good gear you really shouldn't have if you can't get
that's
to just,
I think they're trying to appeal to Blizzard because I don't know what the, I mean, who knows what they're going to do, but something tells me they're going to be out.
They should know.
You think they should be banned, yeah. Sean? Yeah.
I mean, admittedly,
they were wall hacking.
Yeah. Right. The thing is, like,
but it's not like PvP. I mean, they were just. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, they're doing. It's like cheating themselves.
They didn't ruin someone else's game.
Well, the thing is,
they could be ruining someone else's game with that gear,
right?
How?
Was it a PvP?
They could go
server?
Into PvP and start wrecking people that way. Because, well, like, that's some pretty good PvP gear. And
okay.
Well, I mean, like, actually, he acknowledges at the bottom of I'll just wrap this up real quick. Yep. So he acknowledges at the bottom of this post that he goes, yeah, whatever. We know we deserve it. And he's just, like, hoping we'll get his case appealed somehow. But in the meantime, he understood that, you know, he kind of saw the consequences coming.
Blizzard does not like the cheaters.
Or the gold farmers.
You got to kind of know that at this point. They have not been shy about banning
people. Why don't they just
people.
Make them run the Capricathon trash like 50 times as a punishment?
Yeah,
like
naked.
Like it on the
naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe just make them run through Stormwind naked or something.
Or nerf them down to like level 30 or something.
They don't need that guild, Blizzard.
Yeah.
They got enough people.
Good
they can
point.
Do without overrated or whatever.
Yeah, they're probably not losing any
app
sleep
names.
Over banning
app, aptly
anymore.
Named, you think?
Well, because they know they're such fiends anyway.
Wonder,
they're just going to go buy new accounts,
right?
What
if they got through Nyxramas, like, before or after they'd started cheating? Because
yeah,
that
I
doesn't
wonder.
Really count then.
Huh.
And by the way, if you're one of the 5 people, me included, who don't know what the hell Nyxramas is, go to the WoW Encyclopedia, which just launched on the WoW site. So go to worldofwarcraft.com, and somewhere on there is a whole, like, they launched an encyclopedia.
Is Blizzard paying you for that plug there, dude?
Yeah. Because I'm a whore and a sellout.
I think my life is richer not knowing what next Ramis is.
Yeah, so it's like a feeding frenzy guy.
There's real world knowledge in that game, though, man.
It was like a Jacques
tiger
Cousteau,
shark. I learned about that.
The
there's a real life tiger shark that it correlates.
So
tiger shark that it correlates to.
Tiger shark.
So wasn't next all this Ramis stuff already for, on Wikipedia?
Thank you, Mr. Sean.
Yeah, that's I don't get that about the WoW encyclopedia. That there's already Wikipedia.
Right.
What? So Blizzard.
There's even a WoW wiki.
Yeah. So why did they have to do that?
I don't know. I guess it's just for the lore.
They got too much money over at Blizzard. They like don't know what to do with it. Let's make an encyclopedia. What the hell?
They have all the stuff lying around anyway.
Guys, I have an idea. If we produce our own Wikipedia related to World of Warcraft, maybe Blizzard will buy us at some point or hire us. I think that's probably the conversation that begat.
Right. Yeah, but this isn't. I thought this was a Blizzard thing. The WoW.
It is a Blizzard thing. It's all internal.
My bad.
That's the only reason I brought it up is I have no idea what the hell half the stuff is you guys talk about at the high levels.
Well, now you'll know.
I will.
You know a little more.
Study it every night.
And knowing's half the battle.
And if you do want to know what Nyxramas is, just ask.
Just ask Sean. he'll be glad to enlighten you. How many minutes do we have left?
I think it's time for the Retronauts.
10 minutes.
Damn it.
Ugh.
I hate them. Our life was so much easier before Retronauts.
So we can talk about all that Diablo 3 stuff that we had planned for today next week.
After all the exclusive scoop stuff we have on Diablo 3 and StarCraft 2. Okay. Yeah, be sure to listen next week.
We can't do it in 5 minutes right now.
Stay tuned.
No,
we don't have time. No. It's too bad because we had pretty much the full scoop on both games.
Yeah, we were going to talk about our next like 3
games. Oh, well. If it wasn't for Retronauts, you'd all know.
I should get to hear about Metroid 1.
We're just kidding. We know nothing about either game.
I can't wait to
see the boys. Mad at us and don't be mad at Retronauts. You'd be mad at Blizzard.
Really, that's what it all comes down to.
What can we talk about in 10 minutes? What else you got in your little scoop report there? Somebody else burped. What is it with the gas on the show today?
I was drinking a lot of Cokes and stuff beforehand. Yeah. I need to get some more fluids beforehand.
But look at this one. Valve embraces multi-core processing.
Come on now. Some people care.
It doesn't sound exciting, but there is actually some cool stuff that could happen out of this. I'll skip all the technical BS, but the short version is... you're going to have, with multiple cores, obviously there's a lot of different ways it could happen.
Could you explain what multiple cores are for those?
Basically, so you might have heard the term dual core or stuff like that. It's two CPUs working together, kind of like how graphics cards work in SLI or Crossfire. So it's getting up to the point now with Kensfield, that's the new chipset for Intel, can use 4 CPUs. Mm-hmm. Which is some
man. It's kind of like those razors, now they got like 5 blades. we have 4 processors now.
I like the fusions that are 5 blades, and then there's like a back blade for like edging your like sideburns.
How many freaking times do you have to put a blade?
And it vibrates now. There's like
they also vibrate.
Oh yeah, I love
5 blades that vibrate.
Exactly.
Wasn't 1 good enough?
Seriously.
No. All
right. Sorry, so it's like a Seinfeld routine. All of a sudden,
have you tried?
What's the deal with the 4 blades?
Who are these people? Wasn't 1 good enough?
All right, sorry.
No, that's okay. So basically, I'm going to skip all the tech BS, but the short version is, in a demo at Valve recently, they showed to people, Extreme Tech, Ars Technica, a bunch of guys, how they had two demos. One was on a machine running four CPUs, cores, 2 gigs of RAM, and basically it would have like 500 of the ant lions running around on screen at the same time.
No, these were ants.
Oh, ants
just regular ants.
Oh, my bad. Okay, so they had 500 critters. Let's call them critters, if you will. So they're running around.
Those were not ant lions. Talk about, I make fun of Pavanthan trash. Well, Darren, there's a significant difference between an ant.
And an ant lion.
And an ant lion.
Hence the lion.
Okay, but now that we cleared that.
So basically, 500 of these things running around reacting to the environment intelligently at the same time, and a similar test on, let me see, a single core 3.2 gigahertz Pentium 4, they can only manage 100 at once. So,
so you're getting a net gain of 400 ants.
Yes, 400 ants in a game.
The really interesting part of the story is because like a year ago in our not our last Valve cover story, but the one prior to that, Gabe Newell actually said, among his things that were not making his life any easier as a developer were multi-core processes.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
And so now this is interesting because it's a turnabout for the company and they're embracing it and saying, well, hey, actually we got a grip on this now. We think we're 2 years ahead of everyone else in getting a grip on it and we could do a lot of neat stuff with it.
Right.
So they're going to have more ants per game than other game companies.
That's right. So
no. But I mean, what it sounds like will come with this
slider, maybe.
Is just as we got the Lost Coast level, which was more or less a demo for the HDR for people that had high res systems. Their users with multi core processors will likely get access to a new level created just to show off what that hardware could do.
Exactly,
used with their new.
And the cool part is, the fact is, it's the Source Engine. They can literally flip a switch and just kind of have that work into all the other stuff, so they can add other features in.
Right, and to go back and put it into... So I think what that would do, if they went back and they sort of put multi-core support in like Half-Life 2, I think the most obvious thing would be more intelligent AI.
Right.
Because you're able to have multiple AI tasks spread across the different CPUs.
Either that or just have like Serious Sam caliber levels of like head crabs jumping at you from every angle.
Right.
That would freaking be nuts.
And interestingly... It would be interesting to see what's going on with it, but they were saying that they're also able to spread physics calculations across the CPUs. Well, so I wonder if kind of the whole physics card thing, it's going to turn out that it wasn't necessary after all.
That's kind of what that was an ongoing thing that like ATI was looking to address with their latest Crossfire cards, because they had so much computing power that they were saying it could do physics calculations as well as graphics.
Right,
so
isn't Ryan here?
He's already passing out.
He's falling asleep.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, it's, I don't want to
get
too
deep physics in Guild Wars.
The only physics is Ryan's death.
Nothing to worry about.
And there's an old rag doll.
I don't know. I got a little problem with the. I mean, I'm sure this is great news, but the reason it's just, I'm feeling a little sour about this.
Forced upgrades?
Yeah, and it's also just like right now, these games keep coming out right now that are already like taxing all our current systems. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're already in a forced upgrades thing with this current round of stuff, you know, with current round of games.
And that's why I tell everybody, I mean, some people just came by earlier because they're looking to buy a new computer. They're looking forward to playing some stuff for the holidays or whatever. I said, don't buy a new computer. Wait.
Also think of how long it took. I think once a developer like that does establish some sort of proprietary technology that they're going to use going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, look at like when they first started showing off Half-Life 2 and when we finally got it. By the time that it came out, our computers were ready for it.
That's true.
For the most part.
Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, this isn't stuff that's just going to start happening tomorrow. And all of a sudden, we need to go out along with DirectX 10 and Vista, need to buy ourselves the quad processor.
The merciful part is that it's being slowly leaked, you know, trickled out as opposed to like, upgrade now.
Right.
That's the part that I appreciate.
Because there will be years when it's still split all up again. And that, I mean, that could be complicated, you know, I mean, just for other developers too. I mean, when you've got half of your audience or one third of your audience has got dual core or multi, you know, even more than
We're definitely kind of like a crossroads right now.
It definitely feels that way. I mean, we keep running into problems with all the new releases now of performance issues. And I'm really feeling like, wow, this machine that I thought like a year ago was cutting edge is suddenly, I think, about to expire. I think I keep thinking with every new game, oh, I guess I have to add a gig of RAM, or I have to get a new processor, or I need another graphics card.
Some of
again,
it is the game, though.
That.
Dark Messiah is definitely the game. I'm willing to bet that with Neverwinter Nights,
you know,
all the problems you're having are not because, like, inadequate hardware. Just because of the way that it's put together.
And don't forget really briefly when Company of Heroes first came out, there was a problem with any Sly card use. There was like that was solved in like a matter of days after the game came out.
So in that case, it was the opposite. It was like the harder core hardware actually performed poorly because it had a bug.
Right. You know? The point is you're kind of coding to something. It's kind of like that, you know, newer technology. So it's kind of creating issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be the same way with multi-core CPUs and stuff like that for a little while.
Yeah, it does right exactly now. Like it seems rowing to be.
I mean, hopefully,
it's bad timing too, because this is like the new console season. So, like, this is the kind of thing that pisses people off enough that are like, "Screw PCs, I'm not going to buy."
Well, you know what?
Right.
And that's the problem is that, like, I mean, if Vista rolled out when they were hoping to, like around this time of year, then you would have had DX10 out there, and you would have had like all these things that are addressing all these issues people are having right now. But here you have the hardware out on its proper timetable, but the software isn't ready yet. So that's why when you buy a new PC, I think starting now, or at least around Thanksgiving time, they're giving away slips in the box saying you can get a
Vista upgrade.
A Vista upgrade.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to wait for Vista myself.
Yeah.
Hang in there as long as you can.
I've already decided that.
Yeah.
The Retronauts are about to break in like the Kool-Aid Man. So we got to wrap this up.
One of these weeks, man, there's just going to be an on-air rumble between us and Retronauts.
Kid Icarus is standing up there with his bow.
We can take them. Bunch of little skinny guys.
Take them all on my own.
Yeah, no kidding. They'll be all like dancing around you. Come on, you bully! Fight!
Bunch of twerps. All
right. Has anyone here listened to Retronauts?
I do.
I guess we will after this.
I love them.
They shot it right back at us, so that's why we can have fun.
Yeah, but I'm really kidding. Please don't make fun of... Don't give them crap online, because somebody did that last time when I was joking.
Right. And took it very seriously.
And that wasn't good.
It's all fun.
They actually love them. We're all friends here.
That guy got banned.
That was
bad about that.
He was banned because I said... Go to the forum and give them shit.
He did.
So he did, and then he got banned.
How rough did that guy? I mean, like, what did that guy say? Was it like really rough stuff?
It was like really hostile, because I was saying like, hey, go give them shit.
Not joke hostile, but hostile.
No, it was like hostile.
Yeah. So
someone
he was our own
Stark.
Little. Where if we were Jodie Foster, he was what's his face?
Harvey Keitel. Sorry. Wrong movie, I think.
Little Man Tate.
What's the taxi driver?
Oh, Robert De Niro.
Yeah. But
right,
I was trying to think
movie,
of his
wrong
character's name.
I was thinking
Travis
of the pimp.
Travis
Bickle.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So we had our own Travis Bickle.
Travis Bickle moment.
That we let loose in internet land.
You looking at me? You looking at me? Yeah.
Okay. Talking. You talking to me.
So on the one, we're done.
No, actually, okay. Let me just throw out one quick thing.
We're bringing it back.
Guys, go to gfw01.1up.com because we're actually having a contest right now. It's going to be starting up like really soon. You can win your own gaming notebook.
Are you talking to us here at the podcast?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Everyone but you, Jeff. Everyone but you.
Jeff, win a notebook.
That's a good deal.
All you got to do is...
Oh, you're talking to the listeners. Okay.
Readers. So, you know, like only 200 people are going to sign in. Your chances are pretty good.
Sweet.
Yeah, hopefully more.
It's like all our listeners.
I'm just trying
to convince
them to sign up.
Seriously, check it out. It's really easy. Hopefully.
We're not kidding. You could win a laptop.
It's
a good one, too.
Yep.
Swear to God.
I'm jealous.
You could win.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, we're done. Good.
Stay tuned for Retronauts. Oh, and actually, keep your eyes open.
Turn this shit off.
Keep your eyes open for the special Vanguard podcast that we promised last week. It really will be up.
All right. Is this really it?
This is it.
My countdown hand is getting tired.
We're done.
We out.
We out.